Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on a bench. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4CBS. Did you see these Stanton and Harper home runs tonight in that game in Miami? Oh, my God. I guess maybe the game, was it in? It was in Nationals Park. Is that about right? Was that in? It was in D.C.? All right, fair enough. I'm just seeing, like, long balls flying out left and right. Oh, my God, the Stanton home run was just so unbelievable. Look at that thing. Oh, my God. I just love watching that guy hit home runs. I really do. That's just me, though. I don't get too excited about a lot of things. Mafia, you're telling me that Game of Thrones was violent with the they brought out the dragons.
Yeah, they finally used the dragons in battle again. It was awesome. Fire everywhere.
Fire. People on fire?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. So it was Stanton's 37th home run and Harper's 29th home run. And their bullpen closed the door. There you go. But Scherzer went seven innings, five hits, two earned, two walks, nine Ks. There you go. Who do you think's better, Samsung? Do you think it's Giancarlo Stanton or Aaron Judge? Who do you think is a better player?
I think Judge is a better player. I think he can do more. I think Stanton just mashes the baseball, and other than that, strikes out a ton and doesn't do much defensively.
Do you think that he's worth that $300-plus million they gave him?
Absolutely not.
So that means they're going to give Aaron Judge that kind of money soon?
Probably. I mean, when his time comes up, these baseball salaries are only going to get higher.
Did you see him, though, like a month ago? Wasn't he hitting like 350, 360, whatever it was? Where is he now? He's at 300.
Yeah, he's around 300. But he's definitely fallen off.
But do you feel that it's going to stop there, the bleeding? Or do you think he'll end up hitting like 260?
I don't think he'll fall that far. I think he'll end up somewhere around 280, 290, 300, somewhere.
So are you like a Phillies fan? Is that where you grew up?
I am, yeah. I grew up a Phillies fan.
So Phillies, Flyers, Eagles, the whole deal?
Not an Eagles fan.
No, who's your team?
Panthers fan, actually. I know it's pretty random, but
how did that happen?
I kind of grew up more a Penn State fan than I did an Eagles fan, and then when I got into NFL, Kerry Collins played at Penn State, played for the Panthers, and just kind of drifted that way.
So did you go to Penn State?
I did not.
How did you become a Penn State fan? Just growing up in Philly?
Yeah, just growing up in Philly. My dad watched them every Saturday.
Really? Where did you go to school?
I'm a Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
That's all right. That's good. So you grew up and you liked the Phillies though, and the Flyers?
Phillies and Flyers, yes.
So when you grew up, who was your favorite Philly? Was it Mike Schmidt or is that two before your time?
No. That's two before my time. Probably Curt Schilling, and then I found out how insane he was.
And what do you think of him today? Are you embarrassed to say he was your favorite player now, the way he has behaved and like what he's turned into? He's like a freak, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a freak. It doesn't take away what he did on the field, so I guess I'll try and stick with that.
He was a great pitcher for them.
He's an insane person.
He was a great pitcher for them, wasn't he? Isn't it a shame that I think it is. Now, I'm sure he'd argue with me until the cows come home about whether or not he's insane, but that's fine. It's okay to be insane. I think that but it's bizarre to see a baseball player, to be honest with you, in my opinion, go from that greatness to how weird he is.
Insanity runs in my family.
That's actual live footage of Curt Schilling calling in. Listen closely again. You can tell it's him. I think we have him on the line.
Insanity runs in my family.
I'm a little surprised that he would say that about his family members. So, Mafia, this is the first time you've ever worked with Samsung. Like, was there a lot of pressure that you put on him for the gig tonight?
No, not at all. I mean, we try to make it easy for anyone filling in for either of us, whether it's me or Carver High. We try to ease them into it because there's a lot going on with the show, so we kind of put a lot on our
shoulders. We have thousands of people fill the seat constantly. It's just happening all the time. I don't know what it is.
I put the pressure on myself, though.
Mafia, have you ever noticed how you and I are never the ones that are out? It's always other people that are out, and then they have thousands of people fill in for them, but it's usually you and me doing the show for like 10 years now.
It is, yeah, a lot of times. I mean, we're both kind of psycho with that where we
don't. What was the other guy? Wasn't he held captive or something by foreign nationalists in a trunk of a car with no water and just a small hole to go to the bathroom in?
Possibly.
Wait, was that another show that I did? I don't remember. Samsung's heard me say tonight at least 10 times since 9:30 that I don't remember things. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
But that's okay, though, right? At least I admit it. I don't remember.
At least you can remember that you can't remember. Back in the day, it was really worse.
But, like, if, you know, I'm the kind of witness you want in a criminal trial or a mob trial. Because I just, every time they ask me anything, Mafia, what do I say?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Well, you're the perfect defense witness.
Right. I don't remember that at all. I have absolutely no recollection of that whatsoever.
I don't know. I was probably high that day.
I was so baked. I may have been drunk. Did you see the guy tonight that he had, like, I don't think he had any concept that I didn't drink.
No, I don't think he did. Most people don't. When they see when they hear how crazy you are, know how crazy you are, usually they kind of figure you're a partier.
He was so offended that I wasn't drinking, like that I went and got a coffee at the Dunkin' next door to his place. He didn't know what to think of it. I go, is there a Dunkin' Donuts next door? And he goes, yes. And I go, I'll be right back. And I left dinner and got my own drink at some place at his restaurant. I wouldn't drink any of his own products. He didn't know what to think of me that I wouldn't drink, did he?
No one really does. I mean, he should have known. He's hung out with you before.
But the guy we were with knows I don't drink, and he doesn't either.
Right.
So he was in heaven hanging out with me. And meanwhile, you, because you were with us, you were like, I'll have a club soda. And I was like, don't be a femme. And then he ordered up a big old beer. You were going to
act professional at first.
Oh,
first time I met
God.
The guy.
Are you really going to go femme on me and have a club soda?
No, I don't go club soda.
Listen, if you're an alcoholic, you just have to have the drink. I mean, what are you waiting for? If someone says, can I get you something strong? And you're like, you know what? I'll have one of those delicious club sodas too. Like, are you kidding? Is there any drink worse than club soda except, like, I don't know, urine? Like a boxer drinking his own bathroom work? You know what I mean? What are you doing? I'm in training for a fight. Are you actually drinking your own? Yes. Thank you. Then Mafia's at the restaurant. I'll have two of those.
That is a disturbing image.
I just don't know what. You were like, I couldn't believe you. You were like, you know what? I'll have a club soda. And I was like, what are you doing?
The first time I met a guy, it's a business meeting. I don't walk up and be like, yeah, give me a beer.
Meanwhile, he's drinking.
He owns the place. He's allowed to.
He owns 10 bars. All right. I'm going to get in trouble here. Mafia, I knew he'd bring up the boxer training thing. He always does, and he tries to get me fired. Doing More is brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do Project Smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. Pharrell scoring 20, 27, and 26 points in his last three games. Doing more. Apparently not. Joey Votto, the first baseman of the Reds, who went 2-for-3 with two runs, scored three RBIs, a walk, and a two-run bomb in the third inning as the Reds destroyed the Padres 11-3 in the Queen City tonight. Joey Votto doing more for his team. Doing more brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. With everything you need to do, Project Smarter, The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Mafia, what did I say tonight when I was leaving Hoboken?
I can't recall. You made me have those beers, and I forgot.
No, I went, oh, my God, I never knew there was a Home Depot here.
Oh, that's right. You're talking about how huge that Home Depot was sitting right there, yeah.
I was
right there on the corner.
Right on the corner before the city. I'm like, there's a Home Depot here.
Right before the tunnel.
What is my favorite store?
Home Depot.
That's right. I only go to Home Depot for everything. People are like, my wife's like, can you pick up some water? I'm like, I'm not going to the Home Depot because that's where I get my water, too. I get everything at Home Depot, everything, including women. I do. I pick up women at the Home Depot. Wait, are we live? Test 1, 2. Hey, Mafia, can you tell I'm at the end of the road here before my vacation?
Oh, yeah, of course.
For the 12 minutes I've just wasted? Would you rather I talked about Quincy Enunwa?
No, please don't leave my Jets alone. Just don't kick them when they're down.
Honestly, did you know that I'm going to the Caribbean this week?
I did know, of course. How could I not know? Because I'm going to have a cavalcade of hosts.
Oh, who's doing the show?
I think JJ's doing a bunch, and I'm not sure about the rest.
There you go. Exciting. JJ will be here and no one else.
He'll be here Friday and a couple of days next week.
Oh, I think it's not Nanos because his wife or something's out of town. He's busy. So I think they're, I think it's, yeah, it's not him. I know that. And a lot of times it is.
It's usually him and JJ.
So I have no idea what's going on. There's a tremendous amount of pressure here at the network. And they're fixing the lobby or something. The newsroom is being rebuilt. Adrian in Virginia, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, dude.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. Hey, I just wanted to clear something up. I know that Jay Cutler's been the talk of the town for the past few days.
Right.
But I think it is ridiculous, man. Like, the quarterback, he's an average player. He's only been in the playoffs one time in his career. He's won one game. His completion percentage is, you know, borders around 60% most of the time.
You're breaking up, but I get the gist of it. I lost a guy. Listen, here's the one thing, just so you know. If your phone sucks, I get rid of you. At some point, I just can't take it anymore. Even the guests.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
So that's all right. It doesn't mean I don't love you. But I think what he was trying to say is Jay Cutler sucks, and I would agree with you. But I got to give him credit. Two things. A, he's got a smoke show hottie wife. B, which is always crucial in my book. B, he makes a lot of money for being a guy that sucks. He sure does make a lot of money. I mean, can you imagine making $10 million and you suck as bad as he does? Welcome to Miami, Jay. Pharrell on the home of the Dolphins. QAM. Listen, honestly, he does suck. I mean, what has he ever done except lose? Seriously. I mean, everyone sugarcoats everything around here. I'm not. You suck. You never win. You make tons of money. Got a hot wife. There you go. Congratulations. And we saw his butt on vacation in Mexico one morning, which was just a debriefing I didn't need. Now, if it was my butt, that'd be a different story. You know what else I saw today, Mafia? 34C put a picture on my fridge. Remember how I put up the picture of her in her prime?
Yes, I do remember those.
So she got even with me. Now there's a picture of me with a hairy chest on the fridge. Back in the days when I didn't manscape.
That's going to ruin everyone's breakfast.
Because if I don't shave it, it gets out of control. I'm like Grizzly Adams. And believe me, he did have a beard.
Yeah, right. Grizzly Adams had a beard.
Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
If you're on hold, do not give up, because then I'll consider you an enemy. First, though, Thomas Harding, our former president of the United States. Wait a minute. Was that Warren G? Who was
that? That was a rapper.
He was the rapper. Coming up... Warren G, the rapper, Harding, from MLB.com, talking about the Rockies on the bench.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. Thomas Harding is with MLB.com. He covers the Rockies out in Rado. He's on the bench talking a little Colorado Rockies baseball and more than that, Don Baylor. How you doing, Thomas?
I'm pretty good tonight here on the bench. Thanks for having me.
My man. So I was talking earlier about Don Baylor and Darren Dalton, to be honest with you, and the fact that – and certainly more so with Don Baylor in terms of age and everything. Like, I'm shocked, obviously. I knew that Darren Dalton had brain cancer and everything, brain tumor and et cetera, and it was just horrific hearing about both of them passing. But I was saying earlier that, like, for me, I'm old enough. I watched Don Baylor play baseball and manage and everything else. I've seen his basically a lot of his career as both sides, a player and in the dugout, right? So I was thinking to myself, and I said this earlier, and I'll repeat it so that if anybody missed it, it saddens me as I get older. I'm 52. That like all these guys are passing away, and it just makes me feel like I'm next. I just feel like I'm watching as I get older all these guys going that were my childhood memories of Don Baylor playing baseball were pretty strong. I remember those days, and I just it troubles me as I watch year after year guys go. It's just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, a disease like cancer, it spares nobody, and you can fight as hard as you want, and sometimes when cancer wants you, it takes you, I guess, in both of those cases there. Yeah, with Don Baylor, I mean, I had the same feeling that you did. You know, when I was, he played in my hometown, which is Bluefield, West Virginia, and he played there, I think it was 1967, so I was 4 years old.
Right.
And I remember a great story that a line drive came, and I found out later who it was after talking to Don. Line drive came, and he was playing center field, and he comes in for it. And he's just out of high school, first-year pro ball. Ball takes just a strange turn to his right. He's got his left glove up, ready to catch it, and it just kind of whooshes to the right. So he sticks up his bare hand and catches it. Now, when my dad told me this story, I thought, oh, come on, this is legend. So it was actually when he had come back to the Rockies as hitting coach, and I brought it up to him, and he told me the story, and he told me again for a story that I did. It was Richie Zisk, who ended up a pretty good player for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Right.
That line drive, and that thing takes off on him, so he does what he just reacts, sticks up his bare hand, and makes the catch as if it's no big deal. But, yeah, you're right. When you start losing people like this, and especially in baseball, I mean, I hate to say it because, in some other sports, namely football, you've almost come to expect people dying at young ages. Baseball, you don't expect it, but, hey, when it comes to disease, it's something that we all probably should be aware of and fight every day.
So, no doubt about it. I lost my mom to breast cancer at 59. My sister had cancer. I've had a ton of friends have it. It's just absolutely the worst. I've always said there's two things that are inescapable. Cancer and addiction. Like, you're bound to know somebody that's automatic, 100%. Everyone knows somebody that's got one or the other. It's just that simple. Now, when you talk to Don Baylor in this story about everything that he dealt with in baseball, I thought your article was great, by the way, talking about the racism and everything in baseball and how he dealt with it. Tell people what that was like for you to talk to him about that stuff.
Well, for me to talk to Don Baylor about that, I mean, it's funny, too, because being an African-American myself, my first year of elementary school was 1969, and the school system in my city desegregated that very year. So while I saw a lot that was going on, I really didn't experience what had gone on before. And what I got from Don Baylor and just to quickly kind of brief you on the story, brief the audience on the story. He went to O. Henry Junior High School in Austin, Texas. It was he and a few of his other friends. They had the choice to attempt to go ahead and integrate it, and they decided to do so. And what Baylor had said was, at times, it was harder with the teachers than with the students. And also, you know, there was that pressure, as we've heard the Jackie Robinson story, you know, that he had to take everything for X period of time. I think we don't hear enough about, by the way, the fact that after 3 years, he was allowed to fight back and did. But Don Baylor felt that even at the middle school level. Imagine being a seventh grader and you're taking all kind of abuse and people are saying, you have to take this for the next generation. Well, he did pick one day and beat the daylights out of a student. But what he found, though, was once they got past some of that stuff, he was able to garner respect. First it was through athletics. You know, at first they wouldn't give him a football uniform. They told him that there was no uniform to fit him. Then when he got there, he scored 3 touchdowns, and suddenly he had any uniform he wanted. But he did find friends on all sides of the equation, and Don Baylor is just the kindest, loving, soft-spoken gentleman, and people respected him, and that's what I found just from talking to him. Of course, I knew this all along, but we had never really had this conversation. So we had it in February, and he sounded great. I mean, just the same soft voice guy that, you know, you lean in because you listen to what he has to say. And later I found out he was not doing as well as I thought he was, but he was still restoring his family's church in Austin. I mean, he was in charge of that project, and there was a part of him that kind of dreamed of getting back into baseball at that point.
So Thomas Harding, a great writer at MLB.com, with us remembering Don Baylor. You know, in 79, the AL MVP, that's crazy. That was the year the Pirates beat the Orioles. Again, they had beaten them in 71. How far is that? Just because I'm from Pittsburgh. I grew up in Pittsburgh my whole life, so I remember those teams. I went to those World Series as a kid. How far is that in West Virginia, where you're from, to Pittsburgh?
Okay, it's about 5 or so hours. In fact, the team that I've kind of held on to, you become a reporter and you kind of get rid of the fandom. The team I've held on to is the Penguins, actually. But
good for you. Good for you.
It's a 5 or so hour drive. But here's what's funny. At that time, people didn't travel as much. You didn't really have the internet. It might as well have been light years away. But I did follow the teams then, and I was pulling for the Pirates then. In fact, 79, 80, 81, I was in high school, and we formed a rap group. And my get-up in the rap group was white painter's pants, the black T-shirt with the big Pirates logo, it was oversized, and the pillbox hat. So I was following that at that point.
Oh, I like that. The pillbox hat. That was styling with Willie Stargell and company.
Yes, yes. Those were the days.
That was great.
So uniforms.
Let me ask you this question about the Rockies now.
Yeah.
So this team, you know, everybody talks about the Dodgers, obviously, because of what they've done to Major League Baseball this summer, which is destroy everyone. But I got to tell you, for a team that's 15 and a half out, it really is amazing what the Cala Rockies have been able to do this summer. I mean, they've been fantastic. And what's interesting is they still sit comfortably in a wild card. So they look, you know, with a month and a half to go at least, maybe almost closer to 2 months, they're in the driver's seat to get a wild card if they just keep playing the kind of baseball they've been playing, which I expect them to do.
Yeah, I do expect them, because there's not this flukish quality to it. It's not like they're winning every game 15 to 13 like they have in the past. This is a team that has real starting pitching, and what's interesting about it is at times they throw 4 rookies in the rotation. And those guys, what happens, every now and then they'll have a bad game, but then you'll see some aptitude where they'll make an adjustment, and they'll come out the next game, and they get it back on track. So I like what they're doing pitching-wise. The lineup, of course, when you have Nolan Arenado in the middle of it and Charlie Blackmon at the top, who just keeps getting better each season, I think they're always going to score some runs. Carlos Gonzalez has struggled, but lately he's batting lower in the order and at least getting on base and doing some things. They're always going to score some runs. But when you're winning with pitching, and when you get the ball to Greg Holland at the end of the game, and he's 34 for 36 on save chances, you've got a chance. I mean, and here's what I find fascinating is that the Dodgers are running away with the regular season. But what's going to happen in the playoffs? I mean, that's a young, exciting team, but does the recent history of playoff failures, does that get to them? Can one of these wild cards, maybe the Diamondbacks or the Rockies, you know, upset them in that first full round of the playoffs in the division series? I mean, it's going to be fascinating all the way to the end.
Let me ask you, I got 90 seconds, respectfully. Yeah. How much has Neshek helped that bullpen? They already had a good bullpen. I thought it got a little bit stronger with him. Is that about accurate?
It did get a little bit stronger. Everything hasn't been totally crisp, but you figure that a guy with his experience will make a huge difference in August and September.
Do you like having Lucroy on that team?
Love it, because they have young pitching, and you really need that catcher who's fundamentally sound and also just knows how to get a pitcher through a difficult part of a game.
How about Arenado? I love Blackmon and Arenado on that team. I mean, just sickening talent. Arenado's a freak.
Yeah, offensively and defensively, he's the best third baseman in this game. I know there's an argument with Manny Machado, but I guess I see Nolan every day, so I'm gonna say he's the guy, and he's an RBI machine in that lineup.
No doubt. Hey, listen, fantastic having you on the show talking about Don Baylor. So sad to hear about him passing. I know people in Colorado liked him as well as the manager out there. Thomas, we'll catch up in the playoffs and have you back on a bench. Thanks so much for taking time to come on CBS Sports Radio tonight. Terrific job reporting, as usual, on the passing of Don Baylor.
Thanks for having me. And, hey, it gives you the chance to tell these stories.
Go ahead and keep being a Penguin fan. I like you more by the minute.
All right. That's great.
All right. Penguins rule the world and no other teams matter. It was good having Thomas Harding.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
Full slate of games on Tuesday in baseball. Washington hosts Miami. San Diego's in the Queen City. Atlanta has Philly in. LA's at Arizona. That's a great game. Maeda and Godley there. Chicago's at San Fran. Bombers north of the border in Toronto. Tampa hosts Boston down in Florida. Houston on the south side of Chicago. Oakland has Seattle in the Bay. Baltimore's at Anaheim. Detroit in Pittsburgh. Texas at Citi Field. Colorado's in Cleveland to face Corey Kluber. Minnesota has Milwaukee in. And Kansas City hosts Seattle. Get every pick for every game every day at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Daily fantasy baseball rosters that hit for cash, killer boxing snags, and MMA too. The best price, $35 a month for every single pick. You got to be kidding me. And the best return, the best results. Pro preseason NFL games this week starting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Every team's playing. Get my snags. College football right around the corner doing push-ups. Sign up today like everybody else at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Speaking of college football, we'll be in Vegas for the first week of the college football season. Listen to this. We're going to be at the MGM on the 24th and 25th, Thursday and Friday, for Mayweather-McGregor. So we're doing two shows live from Vegas. You'll hear it all over North America in every city. Wherever you live, you'll get it. And then on Monday, the 28th, that whole week, every night, five shows at the D Casino Hotel, downtown Vegas, on Fremont Street. My favorite place, my home away from home, the D. Going to visit our good friend Derek Stevens and company and do five shows in the View Bar, one every night, 7 o'clock Vegas time, 10 Eastern, on CBS Sports Radio. And we're there the whole week. We're actually there for the first week of college football season and their fantasy draft that they're having, a national fantasy draft the weekend of the 26th and 27th. They're going to have this huge draft going on upstairs in these private suites. It's going to be amazing. If you want in on it, call the sales department at 702-388-2200. Bring your team to Vegas, 702-388-2200, for the biggest draft you've ever seen in your life. And you can even email them at sales@thed.com. 7 live shows in Vegas, 2 from Mayweather McGregor, 5 from the D, talking college football. That week on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, there's so many college football games make you sick to your stomach. We're going to be there for all of it. Heavy gambling. We'll be going to the William Hill window nonstop the entire week and gambling heavily and upsetting our wives. Just don't tell them how much you're gambling. Lie to them. That's what I would do.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
That's right. I want to do this story now. It makes me feel good. So, did you see the story about Sheldon Richardson of the Jets? This is great. Sheldon Richardson started up again with his former teammate Brandon Marshall, calling him basically a drama queen and accusing Marshall of quitting on the team. He said, quote, "That man knows what he did to the locker room. I was the one who addressed it, and I would still address it to this day. If he can't come out in the media and tell him what he did and how he actually quit on his team way before the season was over, that's all in itself." They nearly came to blows in the locker room after a week three loss to the Chiefs. And then it became a big issue for the team. Marshall wanted his release in March and signed with the Giants, later saying in a radio interview he didn't want to stay with the Jets because he felt they had no chance to win. That whole situation was sticky because we were losing, and then you're doing little things that are drama queenish, and he's dogging out this guy and that guy. It's everybody's fault except for his. No one wanted to say something to him. Then I say something to him, the criminal, the bad guy, and the media just ran with it. He's the criminal and the bad guy, Richardson. Richardson made headlines when he said there are 15 reasons why the locker room is a better place this season, an obvious reference to Marshall, who wore number 15. He reiterated that today and said if he'd be happy if Marshall's gone, if he's happy. He said, yeah, in a way I am. He laughed when reminded of Marshall's quotes about him not wanting to be part of a losing program. He contributed to that. You have to look within yourself. He was out there when we were taking those L's. That's what a team's supposed to do. If you want to be that guy, you should be the reason the team is changing their culture. In May, Marshall, responding to Richardson's remarks, cited his work ethic and overall approach on a variety of fronts. Quote, I'm not a perfect guy, but I worked extremely hard to get in the position that I am in today. The first couple of years of my career was rough. And a lot of it I did myself. I hurt myself. But since that point, once I figured things out, I've worked extremely hard to be a better person. I've worked extremely hard to be a better teammate, a better father, a better husband, and I'm proud of where I'm at today. I wake up every single day trying to make a positive impact in any room that I step into. Not according to Sheldon Richardson. But don't take his word for it. He's a criminal and a bad person. That's my favorite part of the story. I'm a criminal. Don't believe me. I'm the bad guy. Right? Isn't that basically what he said? Don't listen to me, the criminal, the bad guy. The media just ran with it. I love it. You know what? No one ever wants to talk about the fact that Brandon Marshall has never won anything, right? That he's never, has he ever been a winner? Seriously. What has he done in the NFL except lose? He sure does talk big for a guy that never wins, doesn't he? He's got TV shows. I'm surprised he doesn't have a show here on this network. I mean, he's got a show everywhere, doesn't he? Isn't he like one of the biggest loudmouths in the NFL? He's big shot, loudmouth, never wins anything. He's never won anything. Is he going to be a cancer on the Giants now is the question. Seriously. Mafia, did you know that your boy was on that team last year spreading his bad vibes around to all of his teammates? He wanted to beat his ass.
You knew there was trouble within the locker room between all the guys. I mean, there was obviously signs of him being kind of quitting on the team earlier. A lot of people felt. And that's what happens with a lot of these teams. Anytime you have a team that sucks that bad, where they have, you know, somewhat high expectations coming in, I mean, not that anyone thought they were going to win the Super Bowl, but I'm sure all those guys thought they were going to make the playoffs. They had a solid defense. They had some weapons on offense, and it all just fell apart. Of course, you know, once you start losing, it breeds discontent, and everyone hates each other all of a sudden. If they're winning, they're perfect friends.
Are you glad he's gone?
I don't care one way or the other. I mean, I thank him for all the time he was here, you know, a couple years.
You mean all of his worthlessness?
Well, he had a great year before that. He had some good years here before all the trouble started. But you know what? We weren't going anywhere with or without him. So you might as well cut the salary and save it to try to do something in the future.
Brian in Silver Springs, Maryland, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
I just wanted to point out you've dissed the Nats. By being a regular season hero, postseason failure, I don't think they've ever had the kind of bullpen that they've got right this minute.
Well, they finally do. I mean, I said tonight that they finally closed the door in a game. I think that since they did the deal for Madsen and Doolittle, they've looked better for sure. The bullpens look stronger. So,
I mean, it's even better.
It's not my fault that you guys choke every year. Know that. Like, so don't blame me because your team sucks every year in the playoffs. I have nothing to do with it. But I will say this. I've never rooted against them. Or,
you want to blame somebody, blame yourself.
You know, I mean, I want them to do well. I have no problem with them at all. I think they're a really good team. I mean, the bottom line is if they get in a series with the Cubs, it's going to be a war. It's going to be tough to beat them, I think. But I think Washington is as You know, for me, I think they've been every bit as good as the Cubs this year, for sure. I think the Cubs were basically terrible the first half, except for the last, like, 3 weeks. And then in the last month and a half, they've turned it around and grabbed first place. I think they're on their way now. They're looking good. I'm watching them play tonight. But to me, the Nationals have been consistent from the jump. They've been a good team all year. And if their biggest problem was their bullpen, they seem to have addressed it. So now all that's left, and you know it as well as I do, it's to go out and win in the playoffs, because they never do. So their whole season, you can win every single regular season game until the cows come home. It doesn't matter. They're going to the playoffs, and they have to win in the playoffs. People in D.C., in my opinion, are getting sick and tired of the same old story with the Nationals and the Capitals. They win all these games that don't matter, and then they go to the playoffs and they lose. And you can't tell me you're not sick of it either. You want them to win. That's all there is to it. You know what I mean? I mean, come on. You got to win. That's it. So, I mean, winning all these games in the first half and then playing consistently and winning in the second half and all that is fine and dandy. And talking about how much money Bryce Harper's going to make and everything else. I love Daniel Murphy. I think this is a really good team. I won't deny it. I like them, the way they're made up. I think their bullpen closed the door tonight. I like what I'm seeing. It certainly looks different than it did a few weeks ago. I think Mattson makes them tougher. Obviously, Doolittle's now closing the door, as I said. I've never had a problem with their starting rotation. But without Strasburg in there, they're not the same team. Scherzer got it done again tonight. But, you know, they're relying on guys like Jackson and Cole. And we'll see how they do. But it's all about the playoffs. Winning the playoffs, and then people will finally shut up about them. Until they win, they're nothing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.